Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Well, sooner or later, as the saying goes, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. And there was a question asked of Adrian Griffin in the post game whether or not he felt his team was too comfortable or getting too comfortable in these close games. We keep pointing to the Bucks' record in the clutch, and I still think that is going to prove to be very valuable once you get to the postseason. But as we've continued to point out, that is not to say there is nothing to clean up for this team. And tonight, a lot of those things that still lie out there needing to be corrected and cleaned up reared their ugly head, and that's a big reason why the Chicago Bulls take this one in a game that in many ways felt very similar to a matchup we saw between these same two teams a season ago in Chicago. That one was just a couple of weeks after we saw the Bucks go through a similar situation and coughing up a big lead on the road in Toronto against the Raptors. They would do the same to the Bulls right around this time a year ago, maybe a month or so later in the season. But look, tonight, when you just examine the box score, it's pretty clear what stands out and what continues to be an issue for the Bucks. 14 offensive rebounds tonight for a Chicago Bulls team that is not very good on the glass. They entered in the bottom 10 in offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding, and total rebounding. Bottom 5 in total rebounds and defensive rebounding. They did not have DeMar DeRozan. They did not have Zach LaVine. And a lot of times, not trap game necessarily, but these games can catch you off guard. It brings with it a different energy, and it changes the complexion of things. And I think that's part of what we saw tonight. You saw a lot more of a smaller, quicker backcourt for the Chicago Bulls, and they gave the Bucks fits. Yet another backcourt player that puts up some big numbers in this game tonight. That belongs to Coby White. Maybe not massive numbers. We've seen bigger so far this season. But still, some big shots late from Coby White. 23 points. And Nikola Vucevic got 29 points against Brook Lopez. He was big on the glass as well with 10 rebounds. Andre Drummond came in and did what he does with 14 rebounds. But rebounding is where we start tonight because 14 offensive rebounds surrendered to a team that, again, is not good on the glass is too much. We've seen twice this year that the Bucks have given up 20 offensive rebounds. 17 second-chance points. You matched them there with 9 offensive rebounds, scoring 17 yourself. But those are areas you need to win. When we talk about facing an undermanned team and a team that's down their two biggest stars at this point, and certainly their two best scoring threats, you can't give them any type of breathing room. You cannot help them out and facilitate the offense in any way whatsoever, and that's what the Bucks did throughout the course of 53 minutes tonight. Those 14 offensive rebounds gave up secondary looks and second-chance points. Turnovers. Both teams, again, had 21 turnovers in this game. Bucks outscored the Bulls. The Bulls outscored the Bucks in that category with 25 points off of turnovers. Bucks had 19. So you're relatively close there as well. But you cannot keep those areas close. That is what kept the Bulls in this game. Three-point shooting relatively even with the Bulls hitting 13 of them. You hit 16. And the Bulls got to the free throw line a lot more and got 8 more points there. Those things add up when all of those other hustle categories are even. The free throws loom large. Rebounding looms especially large. And it has unfortunately become a trend for the Bucks so far this season. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. The old National Bank Talk and Text line to join us on Bucks Talk. And look, things are never as bad as they appear. They are never as good as they appear. And I think that's why one of those questions came to Adrian Griffin afterwards of, Do you feel as though your team has maybe gotten a little too comfortable in these close games? And I think when you examine that question, there's a couple of takeaways. It is not a bad thing to be comfortable in those uncomfortable moments. But it is a bad thing to approach it. And I'm not saying this was the mindset, but I'm sure that's where the question was headed. It is a bad thing to approach things and say, we can afford to skate by. We can afford to have some of these miscues. We can afford lapses in execution throughout these first three quarters because we know we'll turn it around down the stretch. And for the most part, the Bucks did that tonight. When you go back to that, again, the word we've used way too much this season, but when you go back to as soon as that clutch moment began in this game, the Bucks' offense executed very well. I think if you were to nitpick anything, it would be two turnovers. So if we start this at the 4:55 mark, Bulls turn the ball over, they're up by four. So again, anything under 5 minutes in the final 5 minutes of the game, when the margin is 5 points or fewer, that's what triggers that clutch situation. So starting there, from that point forward, the Bucks entered trailing by four. They went 5 of 7 from the field. Four of those shots were three-pointers, where I believe they missed just one, and that was the first one they attempted by Malik Beasley. The offense executed. The defense came up with enough stops. They did have two turnovers in those final 5 minutes. They would more than double that in the next 5 minutes in overtime. But that offense, again, did what you would expect it to do. Giannis came up with an incredible defensive play to block Patrick Williams, and it seemed as though the Bucks had done it again and saved the best for last. It's good to get these reps. It's good to get these experiences of figuring out as a team with your new teammates in a new system how to close games out, how to win games. But at some point, enough is enough. And I think the Bucks have had their fill of these clutch games. They've had their fill this early in the season of having to come back from down double digits. And now, you know, sooner or later, you would like to start to piece together more consistent games. Four quarters worth of what you saw for the final 5 minutes tonight. First quarter remains a struggle for this team, and that was no different tonight. They jumped out to an early lead. It felt like, okay, the first quarter issues may be evading the Bucks here. They scored the first 9 points of the game. They're up 11-2. Then the Bulls came out and hit a couple of threes, and then before you know it, it's a close game. 22-22 is when the Bulls would tie the game, and the Bulls would take the lead into the second quarter. Not as bad as some of the first quarters we've seen from the Bucks, but all things told and considered, when you look at and factor in the personnel out there on the floor for the Chicago Bulls tonight, it's a bad start to the game for the Bucks, and that's another thing we've talked about quite a bit this season. That's another thing that needs to be cleaned up. We're about a quarter of the way through the season. There is still a lot of time for all of this to be cleaned up, to be adjusted, to be fixed. And overall, you're still in a good spot, that you're still figuring out to win these games. But the problem is you don't want any bad habits to set in and try to break those habits. And unfortunately, we're starting to notice some trends. Rebounding and turnovers are two big ones. Starts to the game is another big one as well. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we come back, we'll take a look at where things started to turn around for the Bucks, and again, what they're going to have to deal with on Saturday. One of the things we have continued to harp on is perimeter play and how the Bucks are defending opposing teams' perimeters. It is not going to get any easier in the next two games on the schedule for the Bucks, and really, the next three. We don't know who that third team is going to be yet. We know it's going to be one of two teams, and it won't be any easier with them. So we'll take a look at all that after this on Bucks Talk. .120 to .113, the final score in overtime. The Chicago Bulls take down the Bucks in OT in a game with No DeMar DeRozan. We assumed he was going to play. Listed as questionable on the injury report. We heard from Billy Donovan an hour and 45 minutes before tip, and he said it would be a game-time decision, but it seemed as though DeMar DeRozan was going to play in this game. We knew Zach LaVine was out. Then about 30 minutes before the game, when the Bulls update things, DeMar DeRozan is out. So you play this game against a slumping Bulls team that has faced a lot of questions already this early into the season over what is the direction of this team, who is going to be on this team in what, a month, 2 months? Because now we're starting to hit that interesting stretch of the calendar where you see it every year that December 15th is one of those dates to circle, that that's where about 50% of the league becomes tradable, their contracts due. It spikes up in January as well, and this has to do with when you signed your free agent contract in the offseason. But the point is now we're starting to get to that point where more guys can be moved, and the chatter surrounding the Bulls, surrounding guys like Zach LaVine, is only going to intensify. So you approached this knowing there's a lot of offensive production off the floor for the Bulls. Offense has not been a problem for you. So we said before the game, you know, this had all the scenarios, checked all the boxes to be another get-right game. The two leading scorers out for the Bulls. The Bulls are not a good three-point shooting team. They are not a good rebounding team. The Bucks had been the best rebounding team in the league in an extremely small sample size of the last five games. They've gone all the way from the low 20s to seventh, actually sixth before tip tonight. All the things added up on paper for this to be a game where we finally wouldn't have to worry about the Bucks coming back from down double digits, wouldn't have to worry about a close game and adding to those clutch numbers, can continue to pad some of those rebounding numbers. The defense could look even better as well, especially when it comes to defending the perimeter with two key perimeter players out for the Bulls and the other players not very good in terms of three-point shooting. And just in relation to how those things stack up, the wheels fell off for the Bucks. Games like this happen throughout the course of a season. This is not the NFL where we can overreact to one game when it's one out of 17. This isn't a panic time for the Bucks, but as we said from the start, this is the time to really start to correct some of these things, that it's not just these things are happening occasionally. These are starting to build up, and we're getting close to a quarter of the way through the season, that you don't want these to become permanent habits. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we come back, I do want to get into one of those questions brought up to Adrian Griffin about the end of the game. We've seen this two other times this season with the Bucks. We knew how Mike Budenholzer would handle it down the stretch. Now we've started to get an idea of how Adrian Griffin prefers to handle things. We'll examine that last possession the Bulls had that forced overtime after this on Bucks Talk. .120 to .113, the final in overtime tonight. It's the Chicago Bulls taking down the Bucks in a rare situation where the Bucks, I don't know if I'd say were outplayed in the clutch. And they erased a deficit in those final 5 minutes. They were outplayed in overtime. But one of those rare games where it's a clutch game and the Bucks do not come away victorious. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on the show. Let's head to Appleton and talk with Bob. What's going on tonight, Bob?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, the Bulls certainly played pretty good defense, don't they? But what I can't put my finger on, there's been more than one or two games where the Bucks have played teams who are missing some of their best ball players, you know, that being Miami and that being the Bulls tonight, yet they just can't put them away. I know you mentioned sometimes it's hard to put teams away in the NBA, but they got to start getting out of the locker room a little bit better, more a little more desire to put some points on the board also, don't you think? They just can't keep coming out getting that far behind all the time, huh? Strange, isn't it?
Yeah, it
can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is. Something wrong with the chemistry. I'm not sure what it is. What I was really disgusted with, they go in overtime and they go up one, okay? You know, they go up one, and Lopez comes down and guns about a 35-footer. I don't know why, okay? And then about 2 minutes later, when they're down three, I think, the big guy, Gannis comes back and drills a three-pointer also that doesn't go in. Poor team, poor shot selection, don't you think, for a five-minute overtime? Wow.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bob.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And then a high school, any coach would have, you know, called for that that fall with you when you're up three and, you know, 6 seconds left. That was just strange, don't you? I mean, the guy's been around the NBA for a long time. I heard his excuse, but it wasn't much of an excuse, was it? That's too bad. They should have won the game.
Yeah, there was a lot of strange that came from this one tonight. Thanks for the call, Bob. We'll start with that last one that you brought up there with the foul situation. So, Adrian Griffin after the game, and I was curious about this as well, because under Bud, you knew what to expect in those spots. He didn't like the foul. And I think you'll hear a decent amount of coaches that say they prefer not to as well. Now, Griff explained it a little more, but the big hesitation a lot of times with that is you don't want to foul in the act of a shot. And as Griff said after the game, it was right around the cutoff where you would start to think there's not enough time left that we know. It may not be a catch and shoot, but it's going to be a quick shot that you run the risk of fouling as they're getting off that shot. And now you're putting them at the free throw line, presumably a good free throw shooter, if you're taking the three-pointer, putting them at the free throw line with a chance to tie the game. In rewatching the replay, and I think Griff did own up to that and say, look, that one's on me. In hindsight, we probably should have. He said it was coached to the team. If they catch the ball with their back to the basket, foul them immediately. But looking at this, the action is a long ways away from the basket. Alex Caruso is a capable shooter. He is not a great three-point shooter. And the set runs through Nikola Vucevic. He catches the inbound. He sets a screen and hands off to Alex Caruso. I think right then and there, the mistake is you got to have Brook Lopez foul Nikola Vucevic when he catches it, just as he's getting ready to hand it off. There is no threat of Nikola Vucevic with his back to the basket taking a three-pointer there. And once the handoff happens to Alex Caruso, you could get a rip-through move. He's moving towards the basket. He's going to get a shot off. Brook Lopez did a nice job stepping out and contesting. But the Bucks had a clear opportunity to foul there. Probably would have given you about 3 seconds left if you make that foul on Nikola Vucevic when he catches the inbound. And then you put the Bulls in the spot where, at that point, you can't really play the hit both free throws and foul game. It's coming down to hit your first free throw, miss the second one on purpose, get the offensive rebound, and try to put it back. A lot in play there. Now, the Bucks, as we mentioned, did not do a good job rebounding the basketball tonight. But still, the numbers are on your side in those spots. So I am curious to see if we see more of a concerted effort for the Bucks to foul in those spots going forward. I hope we don't see one of those spots in the near future, because that would indicate the Bucks are playing in yet another close game. And, you know, to the larger point that Bob brought up, I don't know what it is. And we have already asked the question to Adrian Griffin. It has been asked to numerous players in that locker room as well. And I think it was Bobby Portis who said, look, if we knew the answer why this team is just plagued by these slow starts, when you put their splits side by side with performance in the first quarter versus the fourth quarter, if we knew the answer to that, we would have cleaned it up by now. But that is one of the three biggest issues that persist with this team so far this season. They get off to slow starts. They dig themselves into a pretty deep hole. They've done a poor job rebounding the basketball, consistently rebounding the basketball. And this is a team. What's most perplexing is the rebounding component. This is a team that largely has the same personnel as it did a season ago. You can't tell me it's the absence of Drew Holiday that has turned this team from one of the best rebounding teams in the league to one of the worst. You still have Brooke Lopez. You still have Giannis. You still have Bobby Portis. You've had Chris Middleton more at this stage of the season than you did a season ago. And this team, again, making that adjustment, going to Damian Lillard, who is a clear point guard. This is not a knock on Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is a combo guard. And I think we saw that shine through at times, not just last season, the last three seasons. In those clutch moments, down the stretch, ball control, ball security, all of it was an issue with the Bucks because you did not have a true floor general. You've got two of them on the roster this season with Damian Lillard and with Cameron Payne coming off the bench. And the Bucks have been even worse protecting the basketball. Those are the three biggest issues that this team has had consistently throughout the course of the season. There is still plenty of time for that to be corrected and to clean this up. But we're starting to get close to being close to halfway through the season. And at some point, these things start to set in and become habits. That's the biggest thing that you want to avoid right now. You got to clean this up before it becomes even more problematic. 855-616-1620 is the old National Bank talk and text line. I have watched the replay of that Alex Caruso three-pointer at least 20 times. And I think that will be one of the major points of emphasis to the team. Is we heard Griff take accountability and say, you know what, it's on me. We coached them to do this. We brought up that. My hesitation was how much time was on the clock. I thought it was pretty close to running the risk of fouling in a catch and shoot or in a shooting situation. That was not the case with this. And I think the Bucks had their opportunities to foul. And I'll be curious to see how the Bucks handle that going forward. 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight, tough one in Chicago. We seem to get at least one of these games a year against the Chicago Bulls. And it happens again tonight as the Bulls take it in overtime, 120 to 113. More after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks lose in overtime, their first game in overtime this season. The Bulls now 2-1 in overtime, but a very, very frustrating game on a number of levels. Number one, as I mentioned, you scored the first 9 points of this game and started exactly how you wanted to start. Playing an opponent that was down, playing an opponent that has dealt with a lot of storylines moving in off the court, and that is massively underperformed this season, and an opponent that was shorthanded with their two best individual scorers off the floor tonight. No DeMar DeRozan, no Zach LaVine. We talked going in about how this team has continued to put themselves in a hole in the first quarter, and you didn't start that way. But then it only took a couple of minutes, and the Bulls not only were right back in it, this was a nip-and-tuck game for basically the entirety of the first half. Bulls would start to build up that lead, and in the fourth quarter especially, all of a sudden it was like you blinked, and it's a 12-point Bulls lead. It went from the Bucks in front to the Bulls up by 12. So you had all of these things that started to occur throughout the course of the game, and then Malik Beasley started to get hot in those final four-ish minutes of the game, and a lot of people started to convince themselves, well, this is... apparently, this is just the Bucks. This is what they're going to do. We're a team that as long as we hang around, we know how to win down the stretch. I've been guilty of saying that as well. The Bucks still have the second most wins in the clutch this season, but it's starting to pile up in terms of the number of games you've played in those spots. You have played 11. The Golden State Warriors have played 14. A lot of that has to do with the Warriors have not been off to a good start this season. Phoenix Suns have played 12. Phoenix Suns have been shorthanded for large, large chunks of this season. Devin Booker's missed a lot of time. Kevin Durant has been the only constant. So they've been shorthanded. that's led to a lot of closer games or closer than you anticipate. Oklahoma City Thunder have played 11 as well. They're a young team. They're going to be up and down, though they've been very good this season. The San Antonio Spurs have played a lot. They are a bad team, and they are a young team. Shows you they can hang around at times, just haven't figured out winning yet. They're 3-8 in those clutch games. The Nets, the Hornets, the Bulls, the Cavaliers, the Pacers, the Lakers, the Heat, the Blazers, and the Raptors. These are the teams that have played double-digit clutch games already this season. If you're noticing a trend, it's that by record we are not mentioning the best teams in the league. You look at teams like the Sixers. They've played 6. The Wizards have played 5. That's because they have been absolutely terrible and have been blown out in a lot of games. But the Sixers are up there. And so are you, for that matter, in terms of record. Sixers have played 6 clutch games. Timberwolves, been one of the darlings of the Western Conference. They have played 7. The Orlando Magic, they've played 8. The Knicks have played 8. The Boston Celtics, the knock on them, they don't know how to close games, close games especially. The Boston Celtics and Atlanta Hawks have played 9. You're starting to pile up way too many of these games. 8-3, it's good that you're figuring out how to win, right? I think you've got your fill, and maybe we can spread these games out throughout the course of the season. When we keep mentioning these numbers, you don't want to be approaching 50 clutch games. But by the numbers, the Bucks just come to life in those spots. 129.5 offensive rating, that's the third best in the league in the clutch. And it's basically a point per 100 possessions back of the Dallas Mavericks and the Indiana Pacers. Two of the best offenses in the league. Your defense took a little bit of a hit tonight, largely because of overtime. If you would have closed this game out and won prior to overtime, your defense would probably still be right around where it was with a 94 defensive rating in the clutch. It's still in the top 10 at 100.9, and their net rating is now 2nd behind the Dallas Mavericks. So they've still been very good in these spots. The numbers tell you they've been a good rebounding team in these spots. They've done a decent job protecting the basketball in these spots. They've been an efficient offense in these spots. But you got to find a way to extrapolate that over the previous 43 minutes as well. That's been the issue. We've heard from Adrian Griffin numerous times. Your fourth quarter has to be your best quarter. In the last 5 minutes of that quarter, you better be elite. That is when it is most important. The team has followed through on that, save for tonight. But at some point, we got to see more than 5 minutes of this. We can't just rely on Damian Lillard carrying the load offensively and taking us to the finish line in those final 5 minutes. Did not score in the clutch tonight. Scored 1 point in the second half. And that is something that has to start on Saturday. It's going to be a tough ask against a good Atlanta Hawks team, and one that really embarrassed you the first time you met in game number 2 this regular season. They had a wire-to-wire win. But you got to start to build these foundations and turn this around relatively quickly. Again, this is not as though things are dire and panic. But when you're talking about a team that's goal is to win an NBA championship, these are the things that you have to correct along the way. We had a lot of these same discussions. I know you don't want to hear it, but we had a lot of these same discussions in 2021. And eventually it came true, right? Now, granted, you had a defense you knew you could rely on. You made a big acquisition right around the trade deadline, bringing in PJ Tucker. Everybody can start to build their wish list over who you would like the Bucks to acquire. Well, the difference this year is it's going to be much, much easier said than done this season. I know John Horst has done a great job of working with what he has and pulling off these moves that we all question, how in the world did John Horst pull that off? But it's getting to be increasingly more difficult because of each of those previous moves. And at this point, all you've got for the next 6 seasons is second round picks to deal with. And even then, your chest is a little bit limited in what has been taken out of there. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. When we come back, we'll take a look at that Saturday matchup with the Atlanta Hawks and take a look at, again, where this team is at in the games played since November 3rd. We'll dive into that after this on Bucks Talk. Since November 3rd, when we saw Brook Lopez utilized closer to the rim on the defensive end, Bucks currently have the sixth best offense in games played since then. They trail the Atlanta Hawks, who are fifth. And again, you will see the Atlanta Hawks on Saturday in Milwaukee. Bucks have the sixth best offense at 118.8. They have the 14th best defense at 114. And they have the ninth best net rating at 4.9, right there in the same neighborhood as teams like the Pacers, the Phoenix Suns, the Miami Heat. No one has been on the level of the Oklahoma City Thunder. And for that matter, the Houston Rockets. That's what jumps out at you when we look at that specific date. The three best teams in the league, actually four, we'll extend it to, by way of net rating, have been the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Houston Rockets, the Orlando Magic, and the Minnesota Timberwolves. After the game tonight, Alex Caruso was talking about his game-tying three-pointer that forced overtime by Casey Johnson, who asked him about the difficulty of that shot. And Caruso said, "I don't think it's that difficult because I shoot that shot a lot in the summer playing open gym." Then when we play in August and September, when we come back with the guys, I just don't get the opportunity to shoot a lot because usually I'm the guy taking the ball out. And the Bucks had their chances on that play. I get the rationale from Adrian Griffin of, you know, 5 seconds is probably your cutoff where you're going to start to cut it close. I think you could trim it down to maybe 4 seconds. You still got time to put the ball on the floor and attack a little bit with 5 seconds. You can go the length of the floor in less than that. So you got a little bit of time. I get the trepidation, but I think when you review the film, I think you're going to see, man, we had an opportunity to just foul Nikola Vucevic. His back turned away from the basket. He was the guy initiating and getting the handoff to Caruso. We could have fouled him there and just played the numbers and said, we don't think the Bulls can miss this on purpose, get the rebound, score, and force overtime. But it wasn't meant to be, as one of those rarities where the Bucks do not come through in the clutch tonight and now have to regroup for the Atlanta Hawks on Saturday. We'll preview that matchup and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk. Ain't no way they can stop me now, yeah, because I'm on my way. Tough loss for the Bucks tonight, who fall in overtime to the Chicago Bulls and now have to regroup quickly as they've got a tough matchup with the Chicago Bulls. They got a tough matchup with the Atlanta Hawks coming to town on Saturday night. Let's squeeze in one call before we sign off. James on the South Side, what's your take on tonight, James?
They were too cocky. They've been too cocky in a lot of these games where they've made a comeback, double digits and everything else. And it bit them tonight. The three point shot by the when the bell sounded, they were tied. Their cockiness. When you get too tired and cocky, it's going to bite you. And it bit them tonight.
So they're too comfortable in those clutch situations.
Yeah, it is, and that's what's happening. You got Beasley, and you got the other guy, and you got Giannis, and all of a sudden, you know, somebody's looking for somebody to take the shot, and it didn't happen, or they didn't run down time enough to win, you know. But cockiness will get you. Cockiness will bite you. You know.
I know what you're saying, and thanks for the call, James. I'm not sure if that was it, although, you know, Adrian Griffin was asked about that after the game, and one of the first questions brought up to him, I think That question and the question about the decision not to foul. I think the decision not to foul, I think we all assumed that question was coming and we were curious to hear what his answer would be. He again explained that I thought it was close to the cutoff time of when I would be comfortable with a foul in that spot, not wanting to risk a three-shot foul. And we coached the guys, if their back is turned, go ahead and get the foul. As he mentioned, in hindsight, the action was quite a ways away from the basket that I think we probably should have went for the foul. And one of the other questions was, you know, basically what James said, maybe not saying they were too cocky per se, but has this team gotten a little too comfortable, not in the clutch, because that's not a bad thing to be comfortable in those spots where it is uncomfortable, but has this team gotten a little too comfortable living there? Not executing there, but just saying, hey, we'll take it from here. That to me is the biggest thing from tonight is, you know, it's all great. It's all well and good that the Bucks have been so good in those spots. Tonight it came back to bite you. As Dave Kane said on the broadcast, if you play with fire too many times, sooner or later you're going to get burned. And it's same as the analogy of, what is it, the snake that gives the mouse or whatever it is, a ride across the river, lets him ride on him, or the alligator. You get bit by a snake. And he asks the snake, why did you bite me? Well, I'm a snake. What do you expect? That's what happens when you play these types of games over and over and over. So the big thing from tonight is you got to clean up. Turnovers. We talked about transition defense in the past. You've got to clean up turnovers. You cannot give these teams that are undermanned that type of a boost offensively. You have to. You absolutely have to. The biggest area that needs to improve immediately is rebounding. You got to clean that up, and you got to get off to a faster start. But more importantly, let's just avoid the clutch altogether and have a blowout sooner or later. Saturday, the Atlanta Hawks come to Milwaukee. 7 o'clock tip. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk to you Saturday night.